Last spring, the Monitor examined government data on illegal immigration and found that the yearly average of Border Patrol encounters up to that point had more than quadrupled under then-President Joe Biden compared with the first Trump term. Now, President Donald Trump has vowed to deport 1 million unauthorized immigrants a year, and Congress has given him the money to do it, as we write about today. Gallup polling data shows that support for deportation has fallen, and that support for giving unauthorized immigrants the opportunity to become citizens has risen. That shift is largest among Republicans, with a 13-point increase. It's Thursday, July 17th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Syria keeps striving for peace in a post-war era. Government officials and leaders in the Druze religious minority announced a renewed ceasefire Wednesday. It was not clear if it would hold. One announced Tuesday quickly fell apart. Preceding the most recent ceasefire, Israel launched a series of rare airstrikes in the heart of Damascus, part of a campaign that it said is intended to defend the Druze. Separately, the Trump administration is close to an agreement to de-escalate the situation between Israel and Syria, Axios reported on Wednesday, citing an unnamed U.S. official. Russia escalated its drone attacks on Ukraine. It struck four Ukrainian cities overnight into Wednesday, injuring at least 15 people and targeting energy infrastructure. U.S. President Donald Trump has set a September 2nd deadline for the Kremlin to reach a peace deal in the three-year war. He has warned of possible severe sanctions if a ceasefire isn't reached, and pledged more weapons for Ukraine. Also, astronomers found the seeds of rocky planets around a baby sun. NASA and the European Southern Observatory in Chile unveiled early signs of planetary formation around the young star HOPS 315, a yellow dwarf like the sun, yet much younger at 100,000 to 200,000 years old, and some 1,370 light-years away. Calling their finding an unprecedented snapshot of time zero, when new worlds begin to gel, scientists on Wednesday hailed it as an opportunity to show how solar systems like ours came to be. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Congress approved $170 billion for immigration enforcement and border security, including a more than doubling of the budget for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, to $75 billion over the next four-plus years. Now that the Trump administration has the money to significantly expand its mass deportation efforts, the question is how quickly it can reach its goal of deporting 1 million unauthorized immigrants a year following historic levels of illegal crossings under former President Joe Biden. But the effort faces steep logistical challenges and growing legal and humanitarian concerns about the administration's enforcement tactics. Sarah Matusik and Cameron Joseph report from Denver and Washington for The Monitor. Armenia's government is facing off against its ancient church as the former tries to forge a peace deal with the country's longtime enemy, which the church sees as a deep betrayal, as do many Armenians. The Armenian Apostolic Church is one of the only institutions that is respected across a broad spectrum of Armenian society, says Adam Mkhitaryan, co-chair of the Armenian Association of Political Scientists. Ultimately, the struggle between the government and the leaders of the Armenian church establishment are likely to determine the little country's future direction and whether it faces west or continues to face east. Contributor Fred Weir reports from Yerevan, Armenia. During the pandemic, foreigners arrived in Mexico City in droves, digital nomads newly untethered by the freedom of remote work and looking for new places to settle. That influx fueled a sense among residents of being pushed out and replaced. Now, with Mexico City acting as a FIFA World Cup host next year, residents are even more worried about the cultural whitewashing of their city and its neighborhoods. Whitney Ulick reports from Mexico City for The Monitor. 10 years ago, a man named Freddie Gray died while shackled during a violent ride through Baltimore in the back of a police van. In a series of gatherings this summer, artists throughout the city are remembering Mr. Gray through their creative works. That impulse has a deep tradition. Black Americans have long turned to art in response to racial injustice and structural violence. Art can be used as a challenge, says Latoya Pegram, an art therapist. I feel like it's a less threatening way to combat what's being resisted. Ira Porter reports from Baltimore for The Monitor. As technology and its tendency to isolate people physically has become more common, many parents are looking for more ways to get their kids out of the house and into the woods. The nonprofit Greenagers in Western Massachusetts employs crews of local high schoolers to help maintain trails. Brian Arthur, a college student and team leader, says work reminds him of the childhood wonder of falling in love with nature. Jacob Posner reports from Great Barrington, Massachusetts, for The Monitor. Also, at the end of today's Daily, you can listen to an audio postcard featuring reporter Jacob Posner as he follows a Greenagers trail crew while they work. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a lean-in for truth in Serbia over a massacre. One of the more unusual and perhaps important protests in Europe this year was a silent march on July 11th of about 1,000 people in Novi Pazar. The city, located in the largely Christian country of Serbia, is predominantly Muslim. The march took place on the 30th anniversary of the worst massacre in Europe since World War II, the killing of some 8,000 Muslim men and boys by Bosnian Serb soldiers. Yet the protest was more than a commemoration of those killed in the village of Srebrenica in neighboring Bosnia, and it was more than a call for Christian Serbs to remember how a past regime supported the genocide of Bosnian Muslims in 1995. Rather, the march, which included women in hijab waving the Serb flag, marked the expansion of Serb identity beyond the ethno-nationalism forced on the country under the 12-year authoritarian rule of President Aleksandar Vučić. Muslims in Serbia have now joined student-led protests that began 8 months ago and have rocked the government of Mr. Vučić, who worked for the dictator who ruled during the 1995 massacre. Their protest on July 11th also remembered those killed by this regime in Serbia. The student protests, which occur almost daily in many cities, are aimed at bringing down a government seen as responsible for the corruption behind the collapse in November of a new concrete canopy at a railway station. The incident killed 16 people. It is Muslim Serbs who are now trying to persuade people that acknowledging the ethno-nationalist roots of the genocide is necessary to rid Serbia of its current repressive leaders, who both deny the genocide and use violence to suppress dissent. Last year, the United Nations General Assembly adopted a resolution declaring July 11th as a day of remembrance of the Srebrenica genocide. Serbia cannot get rid of Vučić without asking how it all started, Aida Čurović, a human rights activist, told Danas News. Serbia's students have been struggling to include the massacre in their protest strategy. A government that buries the truth about the past cannot be trusted to deliver genuine justice, transparency, and democratic rule, wrote Fred Abrahams, who covered the South Balkans for Human Rights Watch, in Euractiv. The march in Novi Pazar was an opening for Serbs, especially pro-democracy students, to not bury the truth. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. And before you go, listen now to our audio postcard related to reporter Jacob Posner's story on Greenagers.
Sally, can you spin it this way?
Here, I'm going to go under and lift up higher.
That's the sound of two men hunting for 300-pound rocks among the leaves and moss just off a hiking trail in western Massachusetts. They're part of a Greenagers trail crew building a low wall to separate a trail from some wetlands. I'm Jacob Posner, and I visited the crew on a bright day in April. Their feats of physical exertion amazed me. Using long metal rods, the two crew members pry a heavy rock out of the ground.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
The men tether the rock to a zipline-type contraption called a skyline. One of them begins to pull a lever.
Tension!
So there's a big rock suspended in the air. I think it's moving because there's kind of a... Because, yeah, it's like a zipline.
At the other end of the skyline, a crew member wields a sledgehammer to shatter some of the large stones into little rocks called crush. Finally, others piece the stones together to create a sturdy wall. It's the sort of orderly process you'd expect to find in a factory, except it's outdoors on a mountainside, in the clear air among birds and trees, and with spirited young people as the workers. This audio postcard was written and produced by me, Jacob Posner, for the Christian Science Monitor. Sound engineering by Noel Flatt. Produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.
For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we turn to the light of God, we discover the continuity of each individual's spiritual identity. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Mackenzie Farkas, and Goodluck Ajay.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.